It was truly one of the most surprising experiences of my entire life. Perhaps surprising is not strong enough a word. Startling might be another word we might use to describe it. I was singing in a choir at the school I went to down in North Carolina. It was a chapel choir. We sang in the morning service. And if you can picture, in this great church, there was an organ up front, but there was also an organ in the back. This was like an organ paradise. There was a third organ in a little side chapel. And this great, beautiful organ right against the back, kind of where those stained glass windows are, in this great church with this massive center aisle, high ceilings. This church had a reverberation of about 6 or 7 seconds. That means if I said something to you right now and were to just let the sound die out, it would take about 6 seconds for it to do so. That was the kind of acoustics that were in this great church. And we came out as a choir walking down in the last hymn, and we would recess out. And the service was about to be done. The sermon was over. And the organ in the back, to get to it, you had to go up an internal staircase, a winding staircase. So you'd go into a side door. You'd walk up this winding staircase. No one could see you from the church. You'd come out into this back room, still internal. No one could see you. And then there were two doors on either side. You'd open the door, and you'd come out this way to the organ, and where the organ was and the console was, and you'd play. Well, my organ professor at this school was the organist who would play on that organ in the back, and he was going to play the postlude after the service was done. And he was playing a song that required some page turning to be done for him, and so he asked, or someone asked, I can't remember, if I would turn pages for him as he played this postlude. So I said, sure, I was going to do that. And so I walked down with the choir, and right before the last little song that was sung, I walked up these internal stairs and walked into that room to go out and step out into this organ that was up above there in the back of that church and to turn pages for him. As I walked in, I was wearing this long choir robe and walked through. I was walking very quickly through this back little room. It was a very dimly lit room right behind the organ. And I was walking quickly to get through there. And suddenly in this dimly lit room, the next thing I knew, I was flat on my face. I was flat on my face. And not only was I flat on my face, there was a massive boom that had just taken place, a massive boom that was now reverberating for 6 seconds through the entire massive church at the quietest point of the service right before the benediction. What had happened was there was a little an organ box that came right out from the back of the organ that was maybe yay high or so, and that was a part of the organ that went back in and helped control the various parts of the organ. It was raised about that high or so off the floor, and in my haste to walk through on this pathway to get there and pull and turn pages for my organ professor, I had not seen that box right in the middle of my path in this darkened room, and I had done a mighty face plant, but not before kicking this box as I was walking through it and causing this massive supersonic boom. Well, you can imagine that created something of a stir among the those congregated below. The assistant pastor, if you will, of the church came hustling up during the benediction to make sure my organ professor had not died or something along those lines. And I'll never forget, I picked myself up off the floor, figured out where I was, opened the door to go out, and my organ professor is just sitting there at the console of the organ, and he looks over at me and he just goes, he says, "Are you okay?" I had to assure him my pride was the only thing that had been devastated at that point in this very humiliating moment. Thankfully, some of the people later inside told me they thought someone had just slammed the door or something on the way out. They didn't really know what it was. I proudly shared with them the moment of my great, great humiliation. What happened? What happened? We all probably have a story like this in some way or another of wandering along some path, some way, and not simply watching where we're going and doing and suffering a great fall, some in perhaps more humiliating ways than others. And I thought about this story as we came to this passage that the Lord put on my heart, I believe, for this first Sunday of 2016. We come to the chapter in the Bible that is so single-mindedly focused on the Word of God, on the Bible, on Scripture, on this book that we have for us right here. And in this book, Scripture says, there is a wonderful essence that this book has for our lives. You see, wandering through that darkened room, not knowing what was in my path, and as a result suffering a great fall, there is a wonderful illustration for each of us. There's the illustration for us as people wandering through our own paths in life. 2015, as that year, brought you down a specific kind of path. You followed that path in the words you said. You followed that path in the actions you took. And you look back at your life, and maybe you see a few falls over the past year. If you're being honest with yourself, you would certainly see many falls, many times you've strayed off the path, many times you've tripped over something, whether it's physically or spiritually or in some other way. There was some area of darkness in your life, and it led you to a great mistake. And for many people in life, life is nothing more than one series of blind steps after another. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're here for. They don't know why life is happening the way it is. And they keep on tripping and falling in the same way they've fallen over and over again. Have you ever met someone like this? You just want to grab them and you just want to shake some sense into them. You see them doing the same thing over and over again, leading to the same bad outcome over and over again. And you say, when are you going to get it? But friends, if we were honest with ourselves, we'd admit that perhaps we're the ones that need to be shaken over and over again and say, when are you going to get it? When are you going to stop making the same mistakes you've been making over and over again? When are you going to stop doing the same acts of disobedience, the same wrong, unkind words that come out of your mouth? When are you going to get it? Today, Psalm 119 tells us something about the Word of God that I could have greatly used at that time walking through that church doing a face plant, something that we could use in greater measure every year, and that is very fitting for us to look at this morning. We're going to focus on simply one verse today in Psalm 119, and it's verse 105. It's the verse we ended with in our reading here, and it says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Your word, God, the psalmist says, this book right here, we understand in the full light of biblical truth, this book is a lamp to my feet, and a light, like a flashlight, to my path. We're going to look at three ways, three things we can see about this Word of God as our light in a message that I'm going to entitle this morning, God's Word, My Light. God's Word, My Light. And what I'd like us to consider this morning is whether we can truly say that God's Word is my light. Is my light as we move forward in the year 2016. Let's talk first of all about the essence of this light, the essence of this God's Word, my light. What does this mean when it says that God's Word is a light? Why is it that His Word is a light? And we're going to talk about three remarkable parts, three remarkable characteristics of God's Word that we have to understand if we are going to use God's Word as a flashlight to lead and to guide us in our daily experience. First, the first characteristic of God's Word is that God speaks. God speaks. Did you know that the Word of God, at its very essence, is God speaking? Now, I would suspect that none of you have ever heard the audible voice of God. Now, young people, I'd like you to look up here and listen to me. I have a question for you. How many of you have heard God speaking in English to you? I'd suspect that in terms of an audible voice, the answer would be none of us. But that does not mean that God is not speaking. He's speaking in a different way. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that in olden days, in the days of this Bible being written, God was speaking. Now you say, what does that mean? What does it mean that God was speaking? I thought this book was written down by a man. I thought it was written down by Isaiah and Jeremiah and by Moses and by David and by Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Haven't we been looking at these books together? Weren't they written by men? And the answer is yes, they were. These men were writing down these words for us to read and to study. But that does not mean any less that they were not God's words, God speaking. Now you say, how does this make any sense? Well, 2 Timothy in chapter 3 tells us that all Scripture, every word in this book, is given by inspiration of God. And what another way to translate that would be to say, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's as if God was breathing His Word into the minds and hearts of people who wrote it down. Now think about it this way. If you were to go out into a very beautiful summer day here in Minnesota, and you were to look up at a tree, a very tall tree, a stately tree, branches coming off, leaves, green leaves, fluttering, and you were to look at that tree, and you were to see the branches moving. You were to see the leaves fluttering back and forth. And you would see this beautiful sight. Do you know what you would say? You would say, oh, look, there's the wind. Now, do you see the wind? Do you see the wind actually? No, you see it, though, in its movement through this tree. The tree is bending according to the way the tree operates, the strength and flexibility of the limbs, the color of the leaves, the strength of the leaves, and yet it's the wind that is moving it. And in the same way, when we come to the Word of God, we see men who have written down certain words for us to read. And yet we look at this word and we say, oh, there's the wind of God moving. Oh, that's God who's speaking it. It is Him who is teaching it. These are His words. That's why if you look in the New Testament, you'll see over and over again that where even Jesus says, don't you know that the Holy Ghost by David said this? It's God speaking through people. Well, that gives great weight to the Word of God, doesn't it? That it is God speaking. But here's something that's even a greater level of wonder. That it's not just that God is speaking, but God is speaking about Himself. That's a wonderful thing. Now, it would be wonderful to hear what God has to say about anything, wouldn't it? I'd love to hear what God has to say about science and about geography and about any number of subjects. And the Word of God contains those things. But did you know that the great heart of the Word of God is that God is speaking about Himself? He's telling you what He's like. He's telling you the things that He loves. He's telling you the things that he hates. He is revealing himself to you. Now, I want you to imagine this. Back in the days of our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, there would be many people who would communicate solely by writing letters to one another. Now, can you imagine that if you perhaps were in that day and you heard of a person that you were certain you wanted to marry? If you're a girl, this was a young man who just seemed like the most special man who was just going to be the perfect one for you. Or if you're a man, the most wonderful woman who ever walked the face of the earth, and you were communicating with this person solely by writing. Now, can you imagine if this young woman or young man or whoever it was were to write a 10-page letter to you every day or every other day telling you everything that happened about their lives? Oh, I did this today and then I did that. I went and did this and I saw that. Can you imagine how you would read that letter and why you would read it? I'll tell you this much. You would not read that letter solely to try to figure out the facts of what that person did or didn't do. You wouldn't just look at it and say, oh, well, that's an interesting story. Oh, that's cool. Well, that's fun. That sounded like a fun day. I want to learn a little bit more what you did today. No, do you know how you would read it? You would read that letter to say, I've never met this person before, so I need to get to know this person through this letter. Okay, she told me this. What does that mean about what she loves? Oh, what does that mean about what she's like? What does that mean about what she finds funny? What does that mean about what she doesn't like, what I should stay away from? You would read the letter to say, what does it teach me about this person? Do you know that's how we should read the Word of God? People come to the Word of God to read only about facts. They say, oh, this story, I've heard this one before. I know it. I've seen it over and over again. Or you say, I come to the Word of God to get a fresh little insight. I want to learn something new today from the Word of God. Friend, if that's the only reason you're reading the Bible, you're missing it. Because the big picture of the Bible is that God is revealing himself to you. He's telling you what he's like. Can I just give you an encouragement that when you come to the Word of God in this upcoming year, when you come tomorrow morning or the day after, come to God and say, God, would you show me what you're like? I want to know more. God, would you show me what you love this morning and what you don't love? May I see a little bit more about you that I haven't seen? Do you know that he'll do that? Some of you say, wow, the Word of God is so boring to me. I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. I can't figure out what it's saying. Well, let me tell you this. Go to the Bible and just say, God, show me what you're like through this. Jesus, show me what you're like and then show me so then I can know what God's like. Read the Bible as if you were reading it to get to know God more. But you see, the wonder of the Bible is not just that God is speaking. It's not just that God is speaking about himself, but he's speaking about himself for our benefit. The Bible says that the words of God that we find here are profitable. They're useful. They are intended to help you. In other words, it's God's message about himself to you. It's as if your name is at the bottom of every letter. This is God saying, hey, Peter, this is who I am. This is for you to know me. Hey, you sitting here, I don't care where you are. This is God's letter to you. Now, friends, how precious should we treat the Word of God when we see that it is his message to us? That's why Romans 15 tells us that all the words of God that were written in the past, this entire book here was written for our learning. It was intended for our study. And friends, I pray that you are studying it even today and even this week. So first of all, we see the essence of God's Word. It is that he is speaking about himself to us. He's saying, hey, this is what I'm like. Hey, this is who I am. Get to know me. Get to love me. And get to follow me. Secondly, let's understand the effects of his Word. The effects of his Word. And we see this in this wonderful picture that the psalmist uses when he says that the word of God, thy word, God's word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now let's try to bring that picture out for ourselves here. First of all, I think that that means that the word of God provides clarity. Clarity. If you've ever been out at a dark, under a dark sky and have wandered your way trying to search your way that you're not going to trip over anything, or maybe more likely, you get up at the night to go to the bathroom, you don't have a nightlight in your room, it's pitch dark, you can't see where you're going, and you're just groping blindly, taking really short, choppy steps so you don't stub your toe. How many of you have been there? That is where we, I think most of us have been. We say, I need some light to light my way. I need something like those airlines have, those running lights running right down the cabin to show us the path. And what the Word of God does is that it makes clarity. It casts light on things. It lets us see things for what they really are. Have you ever woken up at night and stared at something in your room and been dead 100% certain that it was a guy who was just ready to fire away at you? You woke up and said, oh, that is a monster right there. I could spot that anywhere. And then suddenly the light comes on and it's simply, you know, your clothes, you know, whatever, your dresser, your lamp on your dresser, whatever it is. Darkness is consistent with deception. And what the Word of God says here is that it makes things clear for us. It points things out in our life and helps us to see what's light and what's truly darkness. And this shouldn't be surprising to us because God Himself is light. He is light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and He came to give us light. His word gives us clarity. Friends, we live in an age that wants to pretend that there is no clarity on anything. Is it right? Is it wrong? Well, it's entirely up to you. Whatever you feel like, that's what's right and wrong. No, my friend, the Bible tells us clearly what's right and wrong. It's not up to you to decide what's right and wrong. No, God is the one who gets to decide what's right and what's wrong. And you may stand and say, well, it feels so right for me to do this. Well, that's just darkness. The Word of God says if it's right, it tells us. If it's wrong, it provides clarity. You see, secondly, it does not just provide clarity. The Word of God provides a caution. It provides a caution. Do you know the function of a lamp that is at your feet? It is so that you can see the next step. Why? So you don't trip over something like I did in that church and do a face plant and hurt yourself and injure yourself. Do you know why the Word of God is there for us? It's so that in your spiritual life, you don't trip up and injure yourself. You see, the Word of God points to various things and says, hey, if you do that, it's not going to be good for you. It's going to hurt you. Hey, by the way, that thing that you would be tempted to do right there, if you do that, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be good for you. Friends, do you know how many people have been so injured because they've just not listened to what the Word of God has had to say? God's Word says, hey, this is how I want you to act in your sexual relationships. I intend for sexual intimacy to be between a married man and a married woman. We say, well, people today say, well, it all depends whether it's right or wrong. I don't know. Do whatever you think. And then we see the injury that so many people have suffered, whether it's in whether it's in disease or whether it's in other things outside the will of God for their life, that if they would have listened to what the Bible has to say, they would have been protected from danger. And whether it's in the area of drinking or of drugs, whether it's in the area of covetousness and a desire to be rich, whether it's in an area of being cheating and not willing to work hard, whatever it is, the Bible is there to provide you caution so that you don't trip and hurt yourself. That's why we need to listen to it. That's why we need to do what it says. It provides a caution for us. But third, it also provides our course. This is something that's very important. The Bible says that it's not just, here our passage, it is not just a lamp to our feet, but it's a light to our path. It illumines the next step on our path for us. You see, many people are living lives in an absolute fog. They say, I have no idea what God has for my life. I have no idea what He wants me to do. I have no idea what my next step should be. And all the while, God is saying, hey, you're ignoring what's the light. You're ignoring the what's going to light up your path for you. That's going to tell you the next step to take. That's going to show you the way you're supposed to go in. It's here. Do you know the Word of God? Do you know God, I should say, is still working through His Word? He's still talking to you? Do you know the Word of God, Scripture says, is alive? What does He mean by that? It means that the God is speaking to you and wants to speak to you today through His Word. You say, well, wait, is Peter Magnuson's name in this Bible? Or you say, is that what you're saying? No. But it means this. It means that God will direct you to places in this book that suddenly the light bulb will go on. You'll say, whoa! That is my next step. I had this recently that was just such a wonderful answer to prayer. I was reading my Bible and I was praying about a specific issue, and I was just having thoughts go through my head. I was looking for clarity, and suddenly it was like the Lord said to me, I want you to go to this book right here. Go to this book in the Bible. And I was reading through my daily Bible reading, and part of me said, well, wait, Lord, let me just get through my daily Bible reading, and then I'll get to that book you told me to. But then I said, stop, no, wait a second. I really feel like this is Him speaking, so I'm just going to go there right now. And do you know, I opened the Bible to that book, and I started reading through it, and it just was like light bulbs started going off left and right. These issues that I was needing clarity on, suddenly was like, oh, there's the answer there. And then so another light bulb went off, and I said, oh, man, that's the answer to that one. And oh, it started becoming clear. What had happened? The Word of God was alive. And God led me to a place where He started speaking to me. He said, Peter, this is the right way. This is the way to think about this. This is the way to clear it up. And friends, how many of our distractions in life, how many of our deep questions and fog that we're walking through would be cleared up if you simply went to the Word of God and started saying, hey, God, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready for You to point me to what You want me to do. I'm listening. Oh, He might not give it right exactly at that time, but you keep on coming back to Him and saying, okay, God, I'm coming back to listen again. I need guidance on this step. I can sit and think through it all I want. I can logically reason through it, but I'm just waiting. You talk to me. Friends, Scripture says that if you seek Him with all your heart, you'll find Him. He says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. Go to the Word of God. Seek direction for your course, and He'll give it to you. Why? Because the Word of God is a light to your path. It shows you the path that you should be walking on. What a wonderful thing this Word of God is. What a wonderful thing it is to provide clarity to show us what's right and what's wrong. What a wonderful thing to show us this caution, these areas of danger where we would otherwise stumble and fall, and to show us the course that we should be walking on. You see, friend, if the Word of God is meant to be this message to you from God, if it's God saying, hey, this is me, learn more about me, and then pointing you along the way that He would have you to go, there comes to us, third, just a very simple question. What should be, third, our experience in the Word of God? What should be our experience with the Word of God? Let's bring out three areas that this experience should be. First of all, it should be personal. Secondly, it should be purposeful. And third, it should be precious. First of all, personal. Look at what the psalmist's personal testimony is. He said, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my path. You see, friend, it's not enough that the Word of God can be a lamp to Peter Magnuson's feet. It's not enough that the Word of God can be a lamp to your dad or to your mom or to your grandma or to your grandpa's feet. It must be a lamp to your feet. It must be a light to your path. In other words, the Word of God has to be alive to you, not just to your pastor. And friends, the only way that the Word of God is going to be alive to you, the only way that the Word of God is going to be that which is directing your feet, is if you are in this book, if you are getting to know this book, if you are reading this book on your knees, praying to God to say, hey, show me, speak to me through this book. Show me who you are. Show me what you're like. I want to see more about you so I can love you more. It's never going to happen until it becomes personal, until there's a personal experience in the Word of God. That's why the psalmist says in verse 18 of this wonderful chapter, he says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things from your law. And friends, I plead with you this morning, on this first Sunday of the year, may your heart today be to say, I want to have a personal relationship with the Word of God. I want it to lead me this year. I'm going to go to God daily to seek Him through His Word. Secondly, let's understand that this experience should be purposeful. It should be purposeful. What do I mean by that? It should be intentional. It's not something that we come to the Word of God simply haphazardly by accident and simply say, okay, God, I'm going to give you a few minutes this morning and I hope you give me something. No, the Word of God is for us to be seeking after, to be pursuing, if you will. That's why verse 2 of this chapter says, the psalmist says, that he will be seeking God. He has sought God with his whole heart. Every bit of him is pursuing God, in his Word. Now, friends, if you have the light of God's Word available to you, don't you think that your settled purpose in life should be to find whatever He has to say for you and do it? If the Word of God is that which shows you what's dangerous around you, shouldn't you decide that whatever it says, you'll do it? Shouldn't you decide that anything it tells you, you'll follow it? See, one of the great dangers of people who have grown up in church, young people, some of you teenagers who are sitting here right here today, is that you've heard over and over and over what the Word of God says. What it says about your music or about your dress or about your entertainments or about your words, about all these things. And yet it's not your experience. And so you keep on tripping over the same problems left and right. You keep on tripping over the same issues that the Word of God says, hey, if you'd only follow me, I'd be your lamp. I'd be your light. Instead of looking around to figure out what everyone unsaved wants to do, what the world loves to do, what the world's light will be that will only lead you to fall, why don't you get back to looking at what the Word of God has to say? Why don't you say, hey, this is going to be my textbook. This is going to be my rule book. Whatever this has to say about my life, that's what I'm going to do. Because that is going to be what's going to protect me from danger. That's what the Word of God says. Do you know something else, friends, that's very important? Do you know this book provides the rule book for our church as well? Do you know how important it is as elders that the fundamental thing that we are teaching is not our own opinion, but is what the Word of God says? How do we run this church? All right, well, what does the Bible say about it? What do we believe? Well, what does the Bible tell us to believe? How should men and women act in church? Well, the Bible tells us how they should act. What is that which we should study, and how do we love God? Well, the Bible tells us. Let me ask you something, friends. Does our life together corporately as a church reflect that we are relying on the teaching of the Word of God for every area of our life? Does our attendance at Sunday evening service when the Word of God is preached and taught reflect a desire to hear whatever the Word of God is preached and to do it? Does our attendance or does our own individual reading of the Word of God suggest that this is our foundation in life and nothing else? Is that our purpose in life? Friend, we can look and say, well, I think I've got it made already. I'm doing okay. I've been a Christian for a lot of years. I think I know what Scripture says. But friends, God's Word is a light to your path right now. It's a lamp to your feet right now. No matter what's come before, you need to continue coming to the Word of God to hear it preached, to hear it taught, and to have God's Spirit apply His Word to your heart. There's a story of a man who was traversing a mountain. He was walking across a hill, a range, if you will, of mountains, and he had a lamp in his hand. It was a very cold day. He was tucked up against with his cloak over him, and he noticed that when the lamp was out, his hands got really cold. And so it was a nice night. There was a moon that was out. There was a moon that was shining that was giving him some light. And he says, you know, my hands are cold. I'm just going to hold my lamp inside my coat. And I'm going to rely on the moon to lead me for light. Well, suddenly as he was walking along, the wind blew his coat open. And it was a very fortunate thing that it did, because as his coat opened and the lamp shone, he suddenly looked down and saw that he was right at the edge of a great canyon, a stone quarry in which in only a few more steps he would have fallen headlong and died. And that man certainly turned around and started retracing his steps. And you better believe that that lamp was no longer hid inside that coat. But that lamp was out showing light to all his path. And friends, what a very, very sad thing it is when those of us who have available to us the lamp of the Word of God, ready to show us danger, ready to provide direction to our course, gets tucked inside the coat of laziness, gets tucked inside the coat of rebellion, gets tucked inside the coat of thoughtlessness and carelessness, leading us into the path of danger. Friends, the Word of God is your light. It is your lamp. And third, friends, the Word of God should not just be personal. It should not just be purposeful. But this lamp should be precious to us. Oh, what the psalmist says should be the cry of our hearts. Oh, how I love thy law, O Lord. How I love its effects in my life. How I love how it's prevented me from danger. How it's provided a course for me to walk in. Oh, how sweet your words are to me, not simply for its effects, but because of what it is at the essence. Because I see God revealed and I love what I see. Because I see Jesus Christ shown forth before me and His attributes are so beautiful to me. I simply love the Word of God. I simply love reading the Word of God. Friends, if that's not your experience, if your experience with the Word of God is one of boredom and is one of simply ignorance, then you're not reading the Word of God like God intends you to do. You're not communing with Him in the Word of God like He says. I was talking recently to a young man who's grown up in the church. And he says, I don't even know who God is. I've heard all these things come in over and over. I've been taught all these things about Him, but I don't know who He is. And I understood where he was coming from. And I told him, I told this young man, you know what you ought to do? I said, what you need to do is, I said, you need to go to the Word of God and you need to say simply this, God, I don't know who you are, but I want to learn. God, I don't know who you are, but I believe that your Word is designed to show me what you're like, to show me what you require of me, to show me what I should and shouldn't do. And then simply say, God, show me. I'm ready to listen. Show me. I want to learn more about you today as I read your word. I want to know what you're like. So open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things. And friends, if you're in that position this morning, if the Word of God is not right now the lamp under your feet, the light under your path, would you go to Him even this day, today with an open Bible and an open heart and say, okay, start showing me. I need to learn. I need that lamp. I need that light. Friend, the first thing it might show you is that you need to have the Word of God living inside you. The first thing it might show you is that you need to be born again, that you need to come by to Jesus Christ by faith and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I need you to take me to heaven. That may be the first thing. But for others of us, the Word of God is alive today and ready to show us where our next step is, where the next danger is in our way, that we might follow in safety, that we might follow in clarity. You see, friends, what I could have really used on that day, back a number of years ago in that church chapel, was a light. Without that light, I fell headlong and had a real face plant. For those of you who look back in the last year and say, man, I had way too many face plants. I had way too many stumbles and falls in my life. Notice here on this first year, this first Sunday of the year, that God's Word can be your light to protect, to preserve, to provide direction. May God give us grace to make this Word our light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the living Word of God, God's words to us. Father, I pray that you would make very clear by your Spirit today where we need more and more to have that Word as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Let's take just a few moments here and allow the Holy Spirit to show us, is the Word of God your lamp this morning? Is it your light this morning? Are you relying on it to show you the way? Oh, friends, may you not treat the Word of God simply as just something that will help you here and there. That's something that is there to confirm what you want to do, but no, would you look at it as your light. Rely on it as your lamp. Friend, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, the Word of God tells you that you need to come to Him by faith. We give you that opportunity this morning as we do in every service. You can cry out to Him from where you're seated. You can cry out to Him from slipping out from where you are and coming and kneeling at these steps. Wherever the Lord would lead you, let's allow Him to do His work. Father, thank you for the precious Word of God. May it be real and living, quick and powerful in the lives of everyone here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for the closing grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.